be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like the servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So also you must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. In our readings from sacred scripture today, there is a reference to two Old Testament stories with which many of us are well known. Both of the stories referenced involve risk. They involve a departure from a sense of security to a place of uncertainty, and all because of a promise or an oath. The first is the story of Abraham, who at that time was a tribal leader in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he is approached by God and asked to leave his home, to go to a land which was promised to him, which would be his inheritance. Abraham didn't know where this land was. He had never seen it before, nor did he know how to get there. But he goes. And maybe it's because Abraham is just an adventurous spirit and wants a challenge, or maybe he's bored and looking for something to do, but I doubt it. The reason he leaves, makes this leap from comfort and security to uncertainty, is because he was convinced that God was all-powerful, God was good, God was loving, and God keeps his promises. So he went. He's worthy. God is worthy of his trust. And he obeyed. The second story is in the context of Passover, and that's referenced in our first reading in the Book of Wisdom, which Passover is a part of the larger narrative of the Exodus story, where the Israelites are being pulled out of slavery in Egypt onto a promised land. But that, remember, that final plague in Egypt was, God basically promised this was going to happen. There was going to be an angel of death that would come through Egypt, and each of the firstborns in Egypt would be killed, including the livestock. I mean, how horrific is that? But he says, if you do what I command, you'll be preserved. The angel of death will pass over you. And it's the whole ritual of the meal and the slaughter of the lamb, the blood on the lintels, the doorposts. And ultimately, not only are they preserved from the angel of death, but they're asked to leave Egypt, cross the Red Sea to a land they've never seen. They don't know where it is and they don't know how to get there. But they went. And yes, in the desert, they made their missteps and they faltered at times, but ultimately they left Egypt because they believed, they were convicted. God is all powerful. He is good. He is loving and he keeps his promises. This is a reminder to us today that faith is not merely an intellectual acknowledgement of God's existence that might be a first step. Faith includes a willful departure from my self-constructed security and comfort and taking on the risk of following the Lord, surrendering my will to His and pledging allegiance to Him. That's what faith means. He has made promises to us. The Lord Jesus said so many things in the gospel. He says, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. If you keep my commandments, you will be my friends. I have prepared a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have life that never ends." So today we say, is he worthy of our trust? Can we trust him to fulfill his promises? Is he all powerful? Is he good? Does he love us? And can we surrender to those promises? Especially in difficult times, we have to make that act of trust over and over again. Whether it's illness or professional challenges or family issues or loss of a loved one, when things are out of our control, do we trust him? When he's asking you to make the next step in your faith, departing from your self-constructed security and comfort, will you trust him? If you're discerning your vocation as a young person, or if you're married and you're discerning your family size, do you want to remain in your own self-constructed control? Or do you want to trust him? Can you trust him? Even with the church, he's promised that he would send his advocate, the Holy Spirit, to guide the church on earth in all ways of truth and grace. In all ways of truth and grace. So think about some of those church teachings you find difficult. You trust him? Maybe you don't see the logic of it. You don't understand it. Do you trust him? Does he fulfill his promises? So this is what real faith looks like. And I wish I could stop there, but in some ways the gospel turns the table on this conversation of trust and being worthy of trust, because the parable of these stewards, so you have a master who goes off to a wedding, we don't know whose, and he takes his property and his household and gives it to his servants, says, "You're in charge, I will come back." And there's a number of unfaithful servants. How are they unfaithful? Well, they must have not believed he would come back. And over time, they became convinced that the property was theirs. They did whatever they wanted in disobedience. They didn't trust that he would fulfill his promise. And he did come back. And the good and faithful and prudent stewards, they believed in the promise, "I will return." And they remained obedient to him, trusting him. That's what made them good servants. They were trustworthy. And St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, talks about this. He says, "Thus should one regard us as Christians, servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now it is, of course, required of stewards that they may be found trustworthy." So not only should we trust the Lord to fulfill his promises, in an unthinkable way, God has trusted us. He's seen us worthy of our trust, as his trust. He has given us so much of our material needs. He's provided so many things for us. Entrusted them to us as stewards. You think about the family that he has entrusted us with, the people in our life. We're stewards of them.
He's trusted us. And more profoundly, he has trusted us with his friendship, with a relationship. He's trusted us with divine grace, his own divine life. He's given it to us. He's trusted us with this gift. Do we cherish that? Are we worthy of that trust? Do we live in such a way that we're worthy of that? And I'll go a next step, and this is might be a stretching the parable a bit, but I told you that the master doesn't say whose wedding he goes off to. It might as well be his. Because when he comes back and he knocks on his own home's door and they open up to him, he serves his servants with food. Where'd the food come from? He must have brought the food from his own wedding so that his servants would share in that banquet. That should resonate with us. This is what happens at every Mass. We've been promised eternal life, to participate in the sacred banquet of all eternity with the saints and angels. And we've got to make an act of trust that he will fulfill his promise if we stay faithful to him. But we don't just have to think about off in the future. He gives us a foretaste of that banquet here. He has brought his banquet to us, his servants. He's entrusted his own flesh and blood. So each and every Mass and each and every day, we must make that act of trust to move from false sense of security to uncertainty, all because he's made promises to us. And our task is to pledge to him today to be worthy of his trust.